today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning. I'm Tom, and I'll be reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram front page for Thursday, March 12, 2020. Local Schools to Monitor Spring Break Travel by Caitlin Randall. Area schools are exploring virtual learning and monitoring student travel amid global coronavirus concerns. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick said in a statement to the reporter Telegram that parents will receive a phone call before returning from spring break with steps to take if they travel to areas identified by the CDC. He said they will monitor student and staff travel for the remainder of the school year. They're also preparing for virtual learning as the situation evolves, he said, and considering having families who are enrolling in the district complete a survey related to the coronavirus. The district has not yet implemented a policy that addresses coronavirus, Riddick said. University of Texas Permian Basin has asked all students to report travel to any location outside the U.S., President Sandra Woodley said in a statement. She said they've also prohibited any university travel to Level 2 or Level 3 countries. Japan is classified as a Level 2 country by the CDC, and China, Italy, South Korea, and Iran are classified as Level 3 countries. Woodley said they have not received any reports of international travel and have not had any instances in which they deemed quarantine was necessary. Additionally, UTPB is expediting more detailed planning that will encompass other scenarios, including preparing for online learning for all programs if needed in the coming weeks or months, she said. Alexa Dunson, UTPB communications manager, said the university has canceled a study abroad program in Italy that was scheduled for this summer. She said upcoming programs in Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic are still scheduled at this time. The CDC issued a guideline for universities that states, given the global outbreak on novel coronavirus, institutes of higher education should consider postponing or canceling upcoming student foreign exchange programs. Two Texas school districts have temporarily canceled classes over concerns of coronavirus exposure, according to the Texas Tribune. Montgomery ISD near Houston closed after a man in the county contracted the virus, and Alvarado ISD in the Dallas area closed after a school community member was exposed to the virus and told to self-quarantine, the article states. There have been 32 confirmed cases in 8 Texas counties as of Wednesday. There have been no cases reported in Midland or Ector counties. Midland College did not respond to requests for information on their policies. Ector County ISD Communications Department was closed for the spring break holiday. Shale's New Reality, Almost All Wells Lose Money, by Rachel Adams Hurd and Kevin Crowley. America's shale producers already had a profitability problem. It just got a lot worse. At a stroke, Saudi Arabia and Russia and their battle for market share have made almost all U.S. shale drilling unprofitable. Only 5 companies in 2 areas of the country have break-even costs lower than the current oil price, according to data compiled by Rystad Energy, an Oslo-based consultancy. Wells drilled by ExxonMobil Corp., Occidental Petroleum, Chevron, and Crown Quest Operating LLC in the Permian Basin, which stretches across West Texas and southeastern New Mexico, can turn profits at $31 a barrel, Rystad's data showed. Occidental's well in DJ Basin of Colorado are also in the money at that price, which is where oil settled Monday. But that's not the case for the rest of the shale industry. More than 100 operators in a dozen fields. For them, drilling new wells will almost certainly mean going into the red. Shale projects are heralded for their ability to be quickly ramped up and down, but because output from these wells declines much faster than from their old-school conventional cousins, companies have to drill more of them just to keep output flat. That has meant sluggish investment returns, one of the main reasons oil and gas represents less than 4% of the S&P 500 index. At this point, companies should not be burning capital to be keeping the production base at an unsustainable level, said Tom Lowry, a former hedge fund manager who started his own shale data firm, Fraso Lowry Oil Well Partners, LLC. This is swing production, and that means you're going to have to swing down. Already, producers including Diamondback Energy and Parsley Energy have said they're cutting their drilling budgets and dropping rigs. Others, such as Apache and Occidental, have indicated they'll rein in activity. What they're not saying is that they're going to suspend activity, Lowry said. In his view, a typical well in the Midland Subbasin of the Permian requires $68 oil for investors to make an adequate return within 24 months. Bloomberg NEF expects producers to move away from using break-even costs that leave out overhead and other necessary expenses as investors shift their focus to cash flow. At a minimum, they will need to add back interest costs to their calculus, Bloomberg NEF said in a report. That means the profitability floor for most new wells will rise to $50 a barrel in the not-too-distant future, according to the report, up from $45 in the past. The shale boom turned the U.S. into the biggest oil producer in the world and in recent months a net exporter of petroleum. But if prices remain near $30 a barrel, producers will be forced to act. So much drilling activity that U.S. oil production could fall by 2 million barrels a day from the end of this year to the end of next, according to Rystad. That would be about a 20% drop. On Monday, West Texas Intermediate crude fell 25% to settle at $31.13 a barrel, and some forecasters see it falling towards $20. Prices clawed back some of those losses Tuesday, reaching as high as $33.73. Even the best producers will have to reduce activities, said Artem Abramov, head of shale research at Rystad. It's not only about commerciality of the wells. It's a lot about corporate cash flow balances. It's almost impossible to be fully cash flow neutral this year with this price decline. City's sales tax collection drops 20% in March, by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland reported a 20.06% decrease in its sales tax collection this month. The city reported Wednesday that $3.867 million was collected in March. That was less than the $4.837 million in March 2019. The difference adds to the decreases that have taken place year over year. The city has received $28.128 million over the first 6 months. That is $1.734 million, or 5.8% less than last year. However, looking at the second quarter of the fiscal year, the drop has been greater. The city reports collecting $13.13 million in January through March. That is more than $2 million less than during the same months in 2019. The 13.52% difference appears to be a sign that leaner days are possible, and the city's collection might be more than just 5.81% less than last fiscal year's record total. Last year, the city reported collecting more than $30 million over the last two fiscal quarters en route to a 12-month collection of $60.304 million. If the city finishes the last 6 months of the fiscal year 20% lower than fiscal year 2019, it would still collect around $52.481 million, which would be the second largest collection in history. March was the third straight month that the sales tax collection dropped year over year and the fourth in the last 5 months. Report: Pioneer Sheffield preparing for 2 years of low prices, from staff reports. Pioneer Natural Resources Chief Executive Scott Sheffield told the Washington Post this week that the company is preparing for 2 years of low prices and will make the necessary adjustments to maintain our great balance sheet. Sheffield told the Post that Pioneer is secure, but there will be many bankruptcies in our industries and tens of thousands of layoffs over the next 12 months. Earlier this week, Diamondback reported it was immediately reducing its completion crew count from 9 to 6 and will lay down 2 drilling rigs in April and a 3rd rig later in the quarter. Also, Parsley Energy officials said that they had operated 15 rigs and 5 frac spreads in January and February, but on March 6 dropped to 3 frac spreads and planned to drop to 12 rigs as soon as possible. The company plans to further reduce activity in the near future. The Post report quotes Sheffield as stating he expects U.S. shale production to start declining in the third quarter of this year and to fall more than 1 million barrels a day in 2021. I consider this as a $1 trillion stimulus to the world economy with a $30 oil price decline, Sheffield stated in an email to the Post. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude as of 11:05 a.m. was $33.28, down more than $1 in trading on Wednesday. Pioneer is based in Irving, but has a large regional office in Midland. Local briefs from staff reports. First, Midland Police Department. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon was random act. The Midland Police Department said an aggravated assault that took place Tuesday morning is a random act. 2 juveniles were being held Wednesday at Culver Juvenile Detention Center in connection with the incident that occurred Tuesday morning, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. They were charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The juveniles committed this act for an unknown reason, according to the spokeswoman. Police were dispatched to the 1500 block of South Lorraine Street at about 9 a.m. Tuesday in response to a disturbance with a weapon. They found a man who had been beaten and cut with a kitchen knife. The 22-year-old sustained severe bruising to his body and multiple cuts to his head from the knife during the assault, according to the release. He was transported to the Midland Memorial Hospital. Officers found 2 juveniles who matched the descriptions provided by the victim in the 1500 block of South Main Street. They were transported to the Midland Police Department for questioning and admitted to their actions, according to the release. One of the alleged assailants was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital for treatment of a hand injury he sustained during the assault before being taken to Culver, according to the release. Next article. Hospitals implement visitor restrictions. Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center have implemented visitor restrictions in an effort to prevent coronavirus infections, according to statements from the hospital. Medical Center Hospital continues to focus on preparation efforts regarding the coronavirus, they said in a statement. We are following proper infection prevention protocols and guidance from the CDC. As recommended by the CDC and out of caution, we are implementing visitor restrictions. Starting on Wednesday, March 11th, visitors are being directed to use specific entrances to help us screen those who enter our hospital. The statement says visitors should enter the building only through the main entrance from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., admitting entrance 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., emergency department or the Center for Women and Infants, both 24 hours. Odessa Regional is restricting children under the age of 12 who are not receiving treatment from visiting the hospital until further notice, according to a statement. We want to keep all of our patients, including your loved one, safe from germs, the statement read. If you have cold or flu-like symptoms, please stay home. A representative for Midland Memorial Hospital said they do not have visitor restrictions in place. The last article. Family of inmate who died by suicide files federal lawsuit. The family of an inmate who died by suicide after hanging herself in the Midland County Jail filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday against Midland County and the City of Midland. The suit claims the defendants violated the inmates' constitutional rights, as well as the Americans with Disabilities Act and Rehabilitation Act, according to a press release from the family's attorney. According to the release, Stephanie Gonzalez was arrested by Midland police on June 17th, 2018. It states she told the officers she had taken Xanax and had been diagnosed with PTSD and bipolar disorder. Gonzalez hung herself with jail-issued clothing shortly after she was brought into custody, the release states. Jail staff allegedly did not complete a mental health screening on Gonzalez. Stephanie was a very troubled person with mental health issues, the family's lawyer, Dean Malone, said in the release. She did not need to be taken to a county jail for a mere public intoxication offense. The release also states that the Texas Commission on Jail Standards found that the jail violated minimum standards in their handling of Gonzalez. The obituaries. First, Chuck Moran. Funeral mass for Charles Edgar Chuck Moran will be Saturday, March 14, 2020 at 10 a.m. Mountain Daily Time at St. Helena Catholic Church, Hobbs, New Mexico. Visitation will take place at Chapel of Hope on Thursday, March 12th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday, March 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visitation with the family will be Friday, March 13th, 2020 from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. at St. Helena Catholic Church with a rosary service at 4 p.m. Mountain Daily Time in the church. The funeral mass will be concelebrated by Father Joe Paquin and Father Rufus Whiteley, OMI. Arrangements are being handled by Chapel of Hope. Born March 16, 1965, Chuck is the son of Bonnie Moran and the late Bob Moran. He died suddenly but peacefully at home in Midland, Texas on March 6th. Those left to cherish his memory include his mother, Bonnie Moran, his sisters, brothers, and their spouses, Trish and Terry Jones, Kathy Moran, Andy Moran, Kevin and Deborah Moran, Ellen and David Arroyo, Tim and Elizabeth Moran, his beloved nieces and nephews, and his large extended family of cousins and godchildren. He joins in eternal rest his father Bob, his infant brother Christopher, and grandparents Mabel and Charlie Coogan, and Marjorie and Edgar Moran. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to St. Helena Catholic School of Hobbs, another favorite charity, or a conservative candidate of your choice. Condolences may be made online at www.chapelofhopefuneral.com. Next, Linda Brown. A piece of our hearts left this world on Sunday, March 8, 2020, as our mom, Linda Brown, unexpectedly passed away at her home. Linda was born on November 5, 1956, to Diamantina in Reno, Alcala. Those left to cherish her memory include her son, Nick Brown, and fiancée Amanda Johnson of Odessa, Texas, and daughter Marissa Brown Holscher and husband Matt of Lubbock, and her grandchildren. She was welcomed to her heavenly home by her husband, Rick Brown, parents Diamantina and Reno Acala, sister Rosella Acala, and numerous other loved ones that are rejoicing at her arrival. A viewing will be held on Thursday, March 12th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel with a rosary recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland on February, March 13th at 11 a.m. Burial will follow immediately at Fairview Cemetery. Friends and family are encouraged to attend a meal at St. Anne's following the burial to celebrate the life of our sweet mom. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Next, Maxine Ray Leathers. Maxine Ray Leathers, 87, of Midland, Texas, passed away on March 1, 2020. Services will be on March 14, 2020 at 2 p.m. at St. Paul United Methodist Church, Midland, Texas. Maxine was born on July 20, 1932, in Waynesfield, Ohio, to Ed and Ida Ray. Maxine is preceded in death by both husbands, a son, Michael Marshall, a grandson, Michael Shane Marshall, a stepson, Bradley Leathers, her parents, three sisters, and two brothers. She is survived by two daughters, Pat Vinson, with husband Joe Gassi, and Susan Marshall, all of Midland, Texas, a stepdaughter, Patty Ofinger, husband Kevin, of Durham, North Carolina, four grandsons and one granddaughter, and she is also survived by seven great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. Paul United Methodist Church or the charity of one's choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Next, Lisa Lynn Cantor. Lisa Lynn Cantor, 65, passed away on March 9, 2020, in Midland, Texas, at the age of 65, following a brief illness. A memorial service and celebration of life will be held on Saturday, March 14, 2020, at 11 a.m. at the Midland Country Club. Survivors include her sisters, Eloise Cantor Taylor, and Kathy Cantor Jennings. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Next, Taylor Lee Conger. Taylor Lee Conger, 55, of Midland, passed away on March 9, 2020. A memorial service will be held 1 p.m. Tuesday, March 17, 2020, at the Nailey Pickle and Wells Chapel. PSP launches campaign to drive census participation. Study reveals undercount would result in loss of jobs and federal funding. From staff reports. The Permian Strategic Partnership announced Tuesday the launch of the Permian Counts, an educational campaign to maximize awareness and participation in the 2020 census by residents of the Permian Basin in Texas and New Mexico. The campaign is designed to encourage community engagement and raise awareness through multi-channel advertising and coordination with partners and key stakeholders across the region. The Permian Counts is a localized awareness and educational campaign dedicated to engaging with our citizens where they live and work to encourage their participation in this year's count, said Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of the PSP. The Permian Basin is home to a number of the fastest-growing communities in the country, with growth expected to continue over the next 10 years. An accurate count in the 2020 census is essential to positioning for the future of the region, including ensuring the Permian receives adequate federal funding for essential community programs and services. To better understand the economic and fiscal implications of census participation, the PSP commissioned a study by Perryman Group in January of 2020, which revealed the profound impact of a potential undercount. The Perryman Group's economic impact study applied the U.S. Census Bureau's estimate of how many residents of Texas and New Mexico would not participate in the census and adjusted it for regional factors. The study showed almost 2% of Permian Basin residents would likely not be counted, and the repercussions of such an undercount would be significant. According to the study, over the next 10 years, a 2% undercount would result in regional losses of $1.1 billion in gross product, $112 million per year, as well as 13,135 job years, 1,314 jobs per year of employment, and a loss of $52.9 million in federal funding for local government entities. The downstream economic effects magnify the impact of an undercount, putting an additional $1.9 billion in gross product and 21,450 job years at risk over the next 10 years. The Opinion Page. Guest View. Cruz displays leadership in fight against virus spread. From the Dallas Morning News. Leadership is not just what our elected leaders say, but the behavior they model. As the nation and the world grapple with the spread of COVID-19, It is critical that elected officials send the right signals.
I'm reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, March 8th. Giving back comes out of great tragedy. The story was written by Nathaniel Miller. Kelby Davis credits the staff at Medical Center Hospital for saving her family twice during their almost two short years. The first time was when her twins, Anderson and Rhett, were born in 2018. Born prematurely, Davis said both children spent the first 3 weeks of their lives in the neonatal intensive care unit. Daughter Anderson was hooked up to a ventilator and needed blood transfusions, while her brother, Rhett, was born weighing about 4 pounds and had trouble breathing and faced difficulties with his sugar levels up, Davis said during an interview last week with husband Garrett Davis. But the staff at the hospital was able to help the newborns recover before finally releasing them, letting the family go home to begin their new lives. Who could have imagined how the hospital would help them next? That second time was on August 31st during a mass shooting in Odessa that would leave 7 dead and another 25 wounded, including Tiny Anderson. The Davis family was on their way to the grocery store, and the twins were in the back seat in their rear-facing car seats. On their way to the store, Kelby said a bullet went through the rear driver's side of their vehicle and hit one of the seats and shattered into fragments, with parts going into Anderson's chest. The fragments also knocked out some of her teeth and ripped her tongue. First responders at the scene rushed Anderson to Medical Center Hospital, but because of her wounds and her age, there was only so much they could do at the time before she had to be moved. Quote, "We went to Medical Center Hospital where they treated her, but due to being only 17 months old, we had to be air-flighted to Lubbock," Davis said. Staff at University Medical Center were able to remove some of the fragments in Anderson's chest and sewed up her tongue. Anderson also underwent another surgery to remove the broken teeth. Quote, "The level of care we received from Medical Center Hospital and UMC is everything in an emergency," Davis said. "You aren't thinking clearly, and you're worried about how your baby is. We are so blessed. We are so thankful that we have these two hospitals." To help bring awareness to Medical Center Hospital, Anderson and Rhett and their parents were selected as the 2020 Miracle Family for the Children's Miracle Center Network at Medical Center Health System. The honor means that they will bring awareness to the local efforts of the Children's Miracle Network at MCHS. Being the 2020 Miracle Family is a title that MCHS President and CEO Russell Tippin is proud to have them wear. Quote, "I couldn't think of a better family than the Davises to represent Medical Center Health System and the Children's Miracle Network," Tippin said via email. Continuing the quote, "They've seen firsthand the incredible work our NICU and pediatric units do, and they're the epitome of strength and courage," end quote. Partnering with local hospitals around the country, the network helps raise funds to provide funding for critical care at those facilities. Davis said Anderson and Rhett being selected as this year's champions means the twins attend events such as Free Pancake Day at IHOP and Miracle Treat Day at Dairy Queen. Quote, "To be able to be a public presence, it's really an honor," Davis said. Those sponsored events help raise the funds to purchase updated equipment or cover salaries of pediatric doctors and nurses, MCH Network Coordinator Haley Howey said. Quote, "What makes us pretty unique is that 100% of the funds we raise stay local, even though we're a national nonprofit," Howey said. It doesn't go toward anything other than the hospital here. End quote. New items at the hospital include telemedicine for the pediatric unit, where doctors can aid in real time through a video conference. The network and MCHS has also worked with Odessan Tammy Kennedy to open the Samantha Kennedy Center for Pediatric Care to provide specialized care to children of West Texas in 2017. Kennedy and the organization's current goal is to bring a pediatric intensive care unit back to the hospital. Kennedy's mission to help bring awareness and updated equipment to MCH started after her daughter Samantha was taken to the hospital with breathing complications but was unable to get the critical care needed at the time. Samantha was later transported to San Antonio for care, but bad weather prevented her from being air-flighted out immediately. She was unable to recover and died February 2, 2011. Howie said to be able to provide critical care locally, the organization continues to raise funds for MCH, but the cost of equipment and salaries can get expensive. Quote, "It's 5 times more expensive than other health care," Howie said. "You would never think that, but it's highly specialized care." End quote. Davis said the continuous work to bring updated equipment and employees to MCH is inspiring, and she is glad to be a part of their mission. Quote, "You don't think about it, emergency care, until you need it. But by the time you need it, it's too late," she said. With the twins' second birthday coming up on March 16th, Davis said the twins have a special birthday party planned, a Noah's Ark 2x2 theme, and the children are happy, normal toddlers. Anderson is a fan of dolls, while Rhett loves animals. Both enjoy playing on the new swing set at home, and Davis said they are no different than any other toddler. Davis and Howie encouraged the public to look into donating to help the hospital so residents in West Texas don't have to worry about their children's care at the last moment. Quote, "You know a kid," Howie said, about why people should consider supporting their mission. Quote, "Maybe it's your co-worker's kid or your niece, but you know a kid somewhere out there." End quote. Davis said it's important for the community to support the hospital because they serve everyone in the community. Quote, "We have to get behind our hospitals," she said. "Supporting the community means supporting the hospitals. We need to continue to spread awareness." End quote. Pediatric updates started with Samantha. An Odessa family took an unbelievable tragedy and turned it into not only honoring a child lost, but helping all of the Permian Basin. The 2017 opening of the Samantha Kennedy Center for Pediatric Care at Medical Center Hospital came about through the loving efforts of her parents following her 2011 death. The $2.9 million renovation was named after Samantha, who died at the age of 8 on February 2, 2011, after being brought to the Medical Center Hospital emergency room and then later sent to a hospital in San Antonio in inclement weather. At the time, there was not a pediatric care unit in the Permian Basin. At the time, there was not a pediatric care unit in the Permian Basin that could have given Samantha the kind of care she needed to have survived. Samantha's passing fueled her mother's efforts to pursue pediatric units upgrade so as to spare other families the anguish of losing a child and to heighten the importance of intermediate pediatric care in the Permian Basin. Through the fundraising efforts of the Kennedy family and the help of the MCH Foundation, which runs on donations, the unit has seen upgrades over the years that help all children seeking medical care in the Permian Basin. The unit has 19 beds with two capable of telemetry, constant electronic monitoring, and also an isolation room for patients and sleeping quarters for on-call pediatricians. The MCH Foundation continues to accept donations for upgrades to the facility. When the new unit opened in 2017, Samantha's mother, Tammy, said her daughter loved life. Quote, "I think she would be just tickled that she's helping other children," end quote. Want to donate? Visit https://mchodessa.com/mchs-foundation/ for more information and to view a video on Samantha's story. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Fix West Texas has scheduled March Animal Clinic on Thursday through March 15th at the Odessa Police Department Garage at 210 North Lincoln Avenue. Low-cost spay or neuter, costing from $45 to $105, starts at 8 a.m., and vaccines, starting at $12, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Dental cleaning cost is $100, and tooth extraction $5 to $10 per tooth. City of Midland and Midland County vouchers will be accepted. FWT's mission is to make spay or neuter services and other preventative care both affordable and accessible to all pet owners in the West Texas area. Go online to book an appointment. The Permian Basin Comic Con X has been scheduled from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, and 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. March 15th at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street in Midland. Special guests include Lou Ferrigno, who appeared in The Incredible Hulk, John Swayze, Black Foster, who appeared in Power Rangers Turbo, and more. There will be gaming tournaments, costume contests, after parties, and more. The United Way of Odessa at 128 East 2nd Street will conduct a brief meeting and request proposals for 2020-2021 community impact funding at 2 p.m. on March 17th. Funding is open to nonprofit 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area who provide services in the areas of health, education, and self-sufficiency. Application procedures and guidelines will be discussed. To request an application or for more information, call 332-0941 or email Christina Escobar at cescobar@unitedwayodessa.org. This is from the opinion page of the Odessa American for Sunday, March 8th. Odessa family is perfect choice to help give back. The Point: tireless work by volunteers means better access to care for West Texas children. Those pigtails on today's front page are just too cute. The Davis twins, Anderson and Rhett, are adorable, and their family is the perfect choice to help raise much-needed funds for the Children's Miracle Network at the Medical Center Health System. This honor means the family will raise awareness of the local efforts of that network. What a generous act by this young family to give back to others following the horrendous tragedy that affected not only their family, but all of the Permian Basin. Anderson's sweet young face was seen around the world following the August 31, 2019 mass shooting in Odessa. That tragic day would see 7 dead and 25 others wounded, including Anderson, who was hit by bullet fragments in the chest and mouth while riding in the family car on a trip to the grocery store. The community and country rallied around the Davis family and all the families affected that day. It would have been easy for her family to shun the spotlight following such intense media coverage. We're so glad that they didn't and that they want to tell their story to help others. They are much like the Kennedy family in their generosity of time. The Kennedy story did not end with the positive outcome of the Davis family. Samantha Kennedy died in 2011 from complications of croup after being brought to the MCH emergency room and subsequently being transported to a hospital in San Antonio, where she later died. The family took her to the emergency room at MCH. Mom Tammy Kennedy said Samantha had to be transported to another hospital because MCH doctors were unable to properly treat her at the hospital at that time. Weather issues, Kennedy said, also prevented Samantha from being airlifted to a different hospital sooner. Quote, "Pediatric care is so vastly different, and one of the things we had heard in the emergency room that day so many times was, 'We don't know what to do. She's a child,'" Kennedy said at the time. The work the Kennedy family has done to help MCH is nothing short of amazing. They helped raise the funds for the recent $2.9 million renovation of the pediatrics unit at Medical Center Hospital, and they aren't done yet. Along with the Kennedys, other groups continue to play a key role in the fundraising effort, including the Medical Center Health System Foundation and the Children's Miracle Network. The Davis family will be a great face as the 2020 Miracle Family, simply because they are a miracle. So many people died that day, and our community will never be the same. But holding on to the good things, like the generosity of both the Kennedy family and the Davis family, gives us hope that out of terrible events, something good can spring up. We are thrilled to be able to wish both Anderson and Rhett an early happy birthday. They turn 2 on March 16th. We are also thrilled to know that their family is generous with time and spirit, and that they want to see pediatric care improve here in Odessa. We also offer our continued thanks to the Kennedy family for all that they have done. The entire community benefits when families like these give of their time. You can help. Visit the link on the front page today and give to the Children's Miracle Network. All the money stays here, and it helps Permian Basin babies and children. Here are some letters to the editor of the Odessa American that appeared on Sunday, March 8th. The first letter comes from Charles Cotton of Odessa. "I am so tired of hearing news media and politicians referring to Social Security and Medicare as entitlements. They are not entitlements, they are earned benefits that we paid for and continue to pay for in the case of Medicare. My family has paid for 5 generations into the system that the government mandated and made us an explicit promise that they would honor when we retired until death. That promise has been kept for my grandparents, parents, and me so far, but I worry for my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. It is not their fault or the fault of the people that our elected officials chose to corrupt the system for reasons other than what it was designed to do and used the money for other purposes and left us with worthless IOUs that they are now having to borrow billions to cover and increase the national debt. We need to wake up and elect officials that are going to do what is best for the American people and not their particular party. If the media and the politicians continue to refer to earned benefits as entitlements, then by God, I am entitled, and so is every other working person who made this country what it is today." Signed, Charles Cotton of Odessa. This next letter comes from Sandy Milner of Odessa. Bernie Sanders is an openly avowed socialist. His platform is committed to providing free college to everybody and free medical care for everybody. Most of his supporters are under age 35 and are coming from an educational system that has deviated from education to indoctrination. These supporters have not been taught American exceptionalism, patriotism, and the benefits of our capitalistic system. All the school systems teach now is the evils of capitalism and nationalism and the beauty of socialism. They conveniently ignore the starvation, genocide, tyranny, and lack of civil rights in socialist countries. They also ignore the cost of all the free programs in these countries. Sanders points to European countries as models which provide medical care for all and education for all, but he doesn't mention how these things are paid for. Well, here's a newsflash. They are paid for by higher taxes than anything in America. For instance, in Germany, the income tax rate is 47%, and they have a value-added tax of 19%. Value-added tax is a tax paid on everything a person buys. England has an income tax rate of 47% and a VAT of 20%. Italy's income tax rate is 45% with a VAT of 22%. Greece has an income tax of 65% and a VAT of 24%. And European income tax rates, for the most part, are not graduated. In other words, everybody, regardless of their income, pays those high rates. American income tax rates are graduated, with many people paying as low as 10%, and the highest income tax rate is only 37%. Many lower income tax people actually pay no income tax due to the earned income credit, and even get back more than they paid in. If Sanders becomes president and manages to get free education and free Medicare for all, then everybody's taxes will go up astronomically, and most people's standard of living will go down. Besides all of the economic disadvantages of socialism, there is the fact that socialism has failed in every country where it has been the system of government. See Venezuela. And the killings of their own people by dictators has been incredible. Kim Il-sung of North Korea has had 1.6 million people killed. Pol Pot of Cambodia killed 1.7 million. Hitler killed 17 million. Stalin killed 23 million. Mao Zedong of China killed 78 million. And every other socialist country in the world has killed some number of its own people to maintain control of their countries. You may say that it wouldn't happen here, but you would be wrong. If our government ever does become socialistic and achieves the Democrats' goal of taking away our Second Amendment rights, then by confiscating our guns, we will be in the same shape as those other countries. If our government cannot be constrained by the people, our government will kill us just like has happened in other countries. If our government cannot or will not be restrained by our people and our Constitution, we will become just another dictatorship and America will be lost. Signed, Sandy Milner of Odessa. YMCA ready for spring break. Activities on tap to keep students in motion this week. The story was written by Royal McGregor. Students from Ector County Independent School District are in spring break, and the Odessa Family YMCA is expecting increased use of its facility during the students' week-long hiatus from school. Desirio Brito, the Odessa Family YMCA membership director, said during an interview on Friday afternoon, the organization is going to have various activities, which includes basketball tournaments, arts and crafts, and a healthy snack, since its pool is under construction. Quote, with our pool being remodeled, I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to affect our numbers, Brito said. We have the racquetball area and the basketball court. We are going to try to offer some type of scheduling where we can have activities taking place. End quote. The YMCA is open from 5 a.m. to midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday. The facility is also open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and noon to 7 p.m. on Sunday. Brito said children who haven't been to the YMCA before can get a 3-day guest pass, which would allow them and their families to try out the facility for 3 days for free. She also explained that children ages 6 to 17 can be dropped off at the YMCA for $5 per day. Quote, as a parent, I'm thinking about, is it safe and what's the cost? Brito said. This is the service that we offer, and this is how much it's going to cost. End quote. On Friday afternoon, there were 3 children playing basketball on the second floor of the YMCA. One of the children playing basketball was Wilson and Young Medal of Honor Middle School 8th grader Catherine Lewis. She said she plans on playing as much basketball as she can at the YMCA during spring break. Brito said the YMCA can be a safe outlet for children during the week-long hiatus from school. The membership director explained that children get into a routine of attending school, but during spring break, parents still have to go to work and the children need a place to go. Quote, we can be a place that kids can come and their parents feel safe, Brito said. We've built a culture here where it's about family and we get to know these kids' names. It's more than just being a spot. We are building relationships in our community where families feel safe. End quote. The YMCA will also be preparing to host its free event called Healthy Kids Day from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on April 18th, which is a national program that is aimed to improve the health of children. Drug abuse can start in the medicine cabinet. This was written by Levi Stone, a registered nurse. Looking in your medicine cabinet at home, what would you find? Most likely a bottle of Tylenol, perhaps some ibuprofen. Maybe antihistamines, such as Benadryl, and medications to treat common stomach ailments, such as Maalox, Pepto-Bismol, or antacids. Of course, this time of year, it's likely you'll also have that nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, so you can rest medicine too. We certainly want to be prepared any time our symptoms warrant a need for many types of over-the-counter medications. But what about everybody in your home? Are they using these medications for their intended use? Could they be misusing them or, even worse, abusing them? When we think drug abuse, our minds might gravitate to powdery white lines or bulging veins anticipating a needle. When we think about drug abuse, perhaps we conjure up images of marijuana joints or stealing prescription pills from a relative. But when you think about drug abuse, do you also see someone spending half their day driving to every pharmacy in town, purchasing as much cough medicine as they can? When you think drug abuse, is it someone inconspicuously tossing a few large quantity bottles of generic Benadryl pills into their cart at your favorite warehouse-type store? No, that's okay. You're not alone. Drug abuse isn't confined to illicit or prescription drugs. Your very own medicine cabinet can be the gateway for abuse and not even know it. Over-the-counter, or OTC, medications are actually safe when taken as directed and for their intended purpose. However, taking several times the recommended dose of OTC meds can yield far different results, and for those who know this, will seek these medications to achieve a preferred high. So let's peer back into that medicine cabinet and look at it differently. An active ingredient in over 100 OTC cough medicines, such as NyQuil and Robitussin, dextromethorphan, is a commonly abused drug obtained without a prescription. When taken in very large doses, dextromethorphan can cause euphoria, hallucinations, distortions of sound and color, and even out-of-body-like experiences. Statistics show approximately 3.1 million young people, ages 12 to 25, have used a non-prescription cough and cold medicine to get high. Like any abused substance, there are potentially negative consequences to one's health. In the case of dextromethorphan, it's also addictive, and reports of bone and nerve cell damage, high blood pressure, as well as both heart and brain damage, is associated with long-term abuse. Similar to the high sought with dextromethorphan, diphenhydramine, the active ingredient in Benadryl and sleep aid-type medications, as well as dimenhydrinate in motion sickness medications such as Dramamine, in large doses can cause one to feel high and have hallucinations similar to street drugs. Abusers take upwards of 40 tablets to achieve the desired effects they are looking for, unbeknownst to the dangers and damage it has on their bodies. Extremely high doses of diphenhydramine, or dimenhydrinate, have caused dangerous heartbeat irregularities, heart attacks, kidney or liver damage, and even death. Other side effects include depression, memory loss, and urine retention. Got your attention yet? Wait, there's more. As easy as taking a quick trip to the convenience store, diet pills and caffeine pills are a breeze to obtain also. They have the stimulant qualities customers look to get a quick pick-me-up. Whether it's to curb an appetite or stay awake and alert to finish a shift, they still aren't without potential dangers, especially when abused. Exceeding the recommended dosages, especially in large quantities, can also lead to euphoria or even hallucinations. Overdoses can cause irregular heartbeats, kidney failure, dizziness, weakness, blurred vision, gastric reflux, severe headaches, breathing problems, or even death. Abusers may often take these pills in combination with energy-type drinks, which are full of stimulants as well, to potentiate and accelerate the effects. With our notorious West Texas weather, chances are you also have a nasal decongestant among your arsenal of home medications to treat symptoms from colds or allergies. Yep, it's also on the list of abused drugs, especially products containing pseudoephedrine, which ironically is the same ingredient used to manufacture methamphetamines. It's a main reason why we're required to show identification in order to purchase it at the drugstore or pharmacy. But even with purchasing restrictions to limit the amount of pseudoephedrine that one can buy, it remains a commonly abused OTC medication. People abuse this drug for its stimulant and euphoric effects by taking well beyond their recommended dosage parameters. And not to sound like a broken record, but the nasty side effects can include irregular heartbeats, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and breathing issues. Oh yes, and let's not include organ failure as well. Hopefully, this has shed some much-needed light to an otherwise perceived and conspicuous setting in our homes to be mindful of. Don't be afraid to ask questions and look beyond the obvious when others around you may use these medications, especially without symptoms they are intended to be used for. Like other medications you know to be dangerous or potentially abused, add these OTC medicines to your list by keeping them locked and stored away appropriately. These simple changes and discussions may save a life one day.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.